Just hang on.
That's okay, thanks.
We will call the December Finance Committee meeting to order. Second thing on the agenda is approval of minutes from the September 5th, 2023 meeting. Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain, okay. So 3-0 with one abstention, and welcome to the committee. Rousey. Item number four on the agenda is, oh, sorry, I skipped public comments. Item number three on the agenda is public comments. Is there anybody here from the public who would like to make a comment? Going once, going twice. All right. Now we will move on to item number four. Presentation of the Town of Mount Pleasant Fiscal Year 2023 Independent Audit. Ms. Kotoff.
Good morning. I think it's the morning. We have Mr. David Irwin. He's with Molden and Jenkins, our independent auditors, to present the fiscal year 23 audit.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, how are you? Good to see you again.
Good morning. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you all are doing well. Again, my name is David Irwin, and I'm with Molden Jenkins. I was the partner who oversaw this year's audit of the town's financial statements, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning to discuss you the results of this year's audit. The purpose of today's presentation is to provide you all an overview of our independent auditor's report, hit a few of the financial statement highlights, talk about the results of the two compliance reports that we issued in conjunction with the audit, discuss some information that the auditing standards requires that we communicate to you all, and obviously to answer any questions that you all may have. Now, the financial statements themselves, they are the responsibility of town's management and members of the council. As your independent external auditors, our job, our responsibility is to issue an opinion on these statements. We conduct our audit in accordance with governmental auditing standards and generally accepted auditing standards, and I'm happy to say that we are issuing a clean or unmodified opinion on this year's report. Again, this is what you want. This is the highest level of assurance that we can provide as your external auditor. What this means is, in our opinion, financial statements are considered to be fairly presented in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. As part of the audit, again, there are two compliance reports that we also issue, the first of which is the single audit report. And again, a single audit is a compliance report that is required when an entity spends over $750,000 in federal funds during the year. You all had a little over $1 million in federal expenditures this year. As was the case with the financial audit, we are issuing a clean or unmodified opinion on the single audit as well. Second compliance report is something called the Yellow Book Report, and that's a report on the town's internal controls and your compliance with various laws and regulations. I am pleased to say that we do not have any audit findings to report to you all this year, meaning that we noted no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in the town's internal controls during our audit. And, you know, again, with the town, you know, with you all being one of the largest communities in South Carolina, there's obviously a significant amount of financial activity for which you all have to account for. You know, in addition, you know, with all the new accounting standards are being implemented this year, and really just how complex the financial reporting process has become, it makes it all that more impressive to be able to stand before you today and say that we're issuing a clean opinion with no audit findings. And, again, that's something that you all should be proud of. And, you know, as I mentioned to you all last year, it's really, it's definitely a testament to the hard work done by your finance department. They're very accommodating our audit team. They work hard to address all of our questions and give us everything that we need in order to get the audit finalized in a timely manner. So I'm not just saying this because I'm up here. You all are one of the smoothest audits that we do. So I certainly appreciate their hard work and, you know, can't thank them enough for the great job they did this year. Now, for a brief overview of your financial statements, again, you all prepare what is called an annual comprehensive financial report, otherwise known as an ACFR. An ACFR requires the inclusion of additional information that goes above and beyond the basic financial reporting requirements. This document is submitted annually to the Government Finance Officer Association, otherwise known as GFOA, where they put it through a pretty stringent review process. But they not only have a professional staff on hand, but also a special review committee that looks at this report. And when they look at the town's ACFR, their goal is not to assess the financial health of the town. What they want to make sure is that the information, the necessary information, is included in this document so the readers of your financial statements can do that themselves. And through this review, the GFOA has once again awarded the town the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting for FY22, and that certificate is included in this year's document. And this is the 35th year in a row that the town is received the certificate. So congratulations to you all on that. This is a very impressive document and one that you all should be proud of. We audit 650 governments throughout the Southeast. Around 175 of those received this certificate. Very few could say that they received the certificate 35 plus years. So again, just another example of you going above and beyond and continuing to raise the bar. So again, congratulations to you all on that. As you look through this report, the one section I always like to point out is the management discussion analysis, otherwise known as the MD&A. I always strongly encourage everyone to read this section. It's right after our audit opinion. The purpose of the MD&A is to make it easier for a broader audience to use and better understand your financial report. And it does this by providing a narrative explanation of the financial statements from management's perspective. So, if you ever have a question about any fluctuations that occurred during the year, or if there's any unique or unusual activity, oftentimes you can find the answer to your question within the MD&A. Also, there's quite a bit of comparative information in this section, meaning financial activity for not only fiscal year 23, but also fiscal year 22. Is included in this section, and to me that adds a lot of value to the reader. It's a lot easier to understand the current year activity when you have the prior year activity available for comparative purposes. So again, if you can, I would strongly encourage you all to read the MD&A. Now, the town's basic financial statements, they are broken down into three components, the first of which being the government-wide statements. The government-wide statements, they provide a broad view of the town's operations in a manner similar to what you would see in a private sector business. You all do not have any business type activities, so all of the funds in this section, all the funds are combined under a governmental activities column. And this slide here summarizes the town's financial activity for the year from the government-wide perspective. As you can see, the town ended the year with assets and deferred outflows of resources of around $913 million. Of that amount, approximately $608 million all your capital assets, net of accumulated depreciation. The town also had around $273 million in cash and cash equivalents as of year end. Total liabilities and deferred inflows of resources, they're around $266 million. Of that amount, $200 million are long-term in nature. Revenues were around $140 million. Your expenses were right at $120 million. Which resulted in an ending net position of approximately $646 million. And that's an increase of about $19.8 million for the year. So all in all, again, another good year for the town from the EY perspective. You all have a strong balance sheet and continue to be in good shape financially. The second component of your financial statements are your fund level statements. Again, this is what you all typically see throughout the year. This component focuses on individual parts of the government. And it reports the town's operations in more detail than that of the entity-wide financial or of the government-wide financial statements. And of all the funds that you all have, if I'm in your shoes, my primary focus is the general fund. It's the main operating fund of the town. It accounts for the majority of your revenues received and funds expended. But we have a chart here that shows the general fund's revenues for the year. Total revenues are around $98.9 million. That's a slight decrease of around $3.7 million compared to FY22. As you all know, the two significant sources of revenues for you all are taxes and licenses and permits. Taxes were around $47.8 million, and licenses and permits were around $37.5 million for the year. Licenses and permits, they did decrease this year by about $8.7 million compared to prior year. So that's where your overall decrease in revenues came from. That being said, licenses and permits increased by $12 million in FY22 compared to FY21. So your licenses and permits in FY23 is really more reflective of what they were in FY21. A couple other revenue sources worth mentioning. Town had $5.3 million in charges for services and just under $5 million in intergovernmental revenue for the year. This next chart shows the general fund's expenditures by function. Total expenditures around $83.5 million. That's an increase of approximately $7.3 million compared to FY22. As you would expect, public safety and general government expenditures represent the majority of these expenditures. Public safety was around 35.2 million dollars, and it accounted for approximately 42% of the general fund's total expenditures. And that percentage, that's right in line with what we typically see of towns your size. After factoring in transfers to and from other funds, the general fund's fund balance decreased by around $4.4 million for an ending balance of around $57 million for the year. And we have a chart here that shows the town's fund balance history over the past 5 years. You know, it's always interesting to me to kind of reflect back on where you were compared to where things currently stand. And again, even though fund balance in your general fund slightly decreased this year, overall it has increased around 40% since 2019. So again, congratulations to you all on that. That's certainly something you all should be proud of. You know, with regards to fund balance, one thing I always like to mention, fund balance isn't necessarily what you all have in the form of cash for discretionary spending. Fund balance is merely the difference between total assets and total liabilities. Additionally, another thing to keep in mind, the general fund incurs expenditures of approximately $7 million per month. So you all ended the year with an unassigned fund balance equal to around 7 months of operating expenditures. And what that means is that as of June 30, the town could theoretically operate for an additional 7 months without any further revenue sources. You know, I would consider that a strong fund balance for the size of this town. However, with you all having a June 30 year end, that fund balance is needed to cover your expenditures through the months of July through December when your revenues are typically down. One final item to discuss is just certain information that the auditing standards requires that we communicate to you all. Again, with you all receiving a clean opinion and no audit findings, the information on this slide is essentially a formality, but we received full cooperation from town management staff. There were no disagreements with management that would have affected the financial statements. There were no audit adjustments. There were no uncorrected misstatements. And again, we are independent of the town as required by government auditing standards. And with that, unless anybody has any questions, that concludes my presentation. Again, you know, as you look through the financial statements, there's a lot of information in this report. What I've tried to do is just kind of hit the highlights of what I think is the most important to you all. But if there's anything that I didn't touch on that you all have a question about, please don't hesitate to ask. But again, you all are in great shape financially. Thank you to your staff again for all their hard work this year. And we certainly appreciate the opportunity to be in service to you all and look forward to working in the future.
Thank you, David. Do you guys have any questions?
No, sir.
Just thank you very much. We're so proud of our finance office. They do such a great job. If you go up by Marcy's door, you'll see a lot of different awards that, how many is there now, Marcy?
A lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you know, that's a testament to how well they do. So we really appreciate it, and thank you for all your work on this as well.
Yeah, thank you.
I did have a question. Is this the first year that Malden and Jenkins has been our external auditor?
This is our second year.
Second year, okay.
Yes. And I did want to take a moment to dive a little bit more into the general fund balance. First of all, when we look and we see that odd year out there, if you'll remember, because of the state standardization on business license, we had two collections that year. So that kind of artificially inflated them. And I'll talk a little bit more at the special town council about business license. But when we look at the $57 million fund balance in the general fund, budgeted for use in the current year, $6.9 million, and then additional adopted use for carryovers and encumbrances is 2.2. So really, the 57, you have to look at a $47 million starting point. What we'll be doing at mid-year is we're truing up the town's fund balance policy, which says there's an amount each year that we send to infrastructure. So we budget a portion of it, and then we true it up with the audit. So we'll be sending, hopefully with our mid-year, another 2.1 towards infrastructure. So that really leaves us with $45.8 million. There's some non-spendable, which includes the opioid money that we received on our fund balance, so we don't want to spend that. The fund balance policy requires we set aside $2 million for emergency, and then that 25% that we maintain of $27.5 million. So that really leaves an unrestricted fund balance of $16 million. We do always like to note that we do kind of keep aside a reserve for the appeal that we have just in case, but we have $16 million. I did comparison looking at the prior year. We are unrestricted. It's within $150,000 of where we were. We took the opportunity for that additional money to do some one-time items. We went ahead and finished Carolina Park Phase 4, some other pieces. And so if you kind of think of that one-time piece of money that we did things with, we're kind of on a smooth transition, and we're in line with last year as far as what truly is available to town council.
And I presume that we're earning interest income on some of these reserves as well?
Yes, sir. So depending on the type of money, if it's GO bond, it does stay with the GO bond. If it's in our capital fund, we do monitor, track it, allocate it, and then we will, during usually the CIP process, go ahead and use it towards a project. So some interest earnings is attributable to the general fund, and then the rest goes into the fund balance at year end. So we continue to watch that. We don't want to overestimate what we're going to get and then the interest rates change on us. So we try to be conservative.
So anybody else have any questions for David or Marcy about this particular topic? All right. Thank you.
Thank you
both. And congratulations, Marcy.
Thank you.
And your staff for another great year.
It's really the staff I have to say, and I thank y'all for the raises that they get, that I can maintain them, and they're awesome.
All right, we'll move on to item number 5, presentation of fiscal year 2023 impact fees.
So we are required by state law to annually report on how we spent impact fees that were received in the year plus interest earnings. So we have 4 impact fees. You will see, for instance, under fire protection, that the amount that we received plus interest was $85,000. It was attributable to debt service on the general obligation bond. So if we issue a bond and it aligns with the requirements of the impact fee, we do use that to help offset some of our funding of the general obligation. The municipal facilities and equipment, $155 million. It went towards the public operations center, phase 2. Recreation, $500,000. Part went to the Mount Pleasant Way, and part to debt service on, again, a general obligation bond. And lastly, $1.3 million in transportation impact fees, All-American Boulevard, debt service on a general obligation bond, and a little portion to the Vaughn Ed Key Parkway. Any questions on our impact fees?
I was just going to ask as sort of a general trend question, how do these amounts sort of compare to prior years, and you know, what are we forecasting looking forward?
A couple of years ago, we worked with our financial advisors to develop a model that looked at all the land available in the town, how it was zoned, all the pieces, trying to, as best we can, predict what's going to be built when. So we use that model, and then we compare to trends and what we're seeing. What we're forecasting is a decrease. As it shifts from development to redevelopment, unless it's been vacant 5 years or unless the use changes, we don't get as much impact fees. So we're really looking at how we utilize those. There are things that we don't know. When Patriots Point Annex comes on, that will give us a little boost. So I have talked with Mr. DeMora that as we go forward, we'll be really ratcheting down the use of these as it's trending.
Yeah, and through you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Brownstein, it's worth noting something you may already know. Impact fees can only be used for new facilities, not ongoing. As the town approaches build-out, not only are we naturally seeing a decrease in the impact fees collected, but also a decrease in the number of capital projects that we have to meet that growth. I mean, you're aware of the roadways that are being built, under design, soon to be under construction. As we go forward in a few years, the number of larger roadways that need to be constructed will be very, very few. So you would need less impact fees. Same thing with fire stations and things like that. So decrease is expected, anticipated. It's probably no surprise to each of you up there. But also the level of capital improvements that have been required to date won't be as extreme.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Remind me, does this need an action or is this presentation information only?
Yes, sir. Just information.
All right. Thank you. With that, we will move on to item number 6, review and possible action regarding the mid-year budget amendment ordinance.
There are only two items this year that we're going to request for consideration to amend our existing budget. The first is that true-up of the fund balance policy that sends an amount that equals 50% of our unassigned over. So this true up is $2.1 million. We would send it from the general fund balance over to our capital fund for infrastructure to be utilized with the CIP that we will present in January to you. The second item is as part of our year end, going through reviewing all our funds, our debt service fund, we really noticed that the amount of reserve we have for our state revolving fund loan exceeds the minimum required for that. So there's no impact. But what we are proposing is that we take the excess of $1.2 million, it's stormwater money, and move it over to the capital fund. We will be in position because, you know, we're always going after grants for drainage, and this could act as a match for that. So going ahead instead of leaving that money in the debt fund, moving it to the capital fund where it will be utilized, hopefully for a match. Those are the two items, true up of infrastructure and transfer of stormwater over to the capital fund.
Has that grant already been awarded or have we been told we were getting that grant, or is this just in anticipation?
This is not associated with anything. It's anticipation. Anticipation.
Okay.
Or hoping.
Or does anybody have any questions on this?
No, but I would like to say that we're working on several drainage projects, and it's a critical issue for us, and I'm glad we're going after every dollar we can get. And so to have the extra funds that would match those grants is critical to the ability to have them rewarded, because that's one of the first things they ask when you apply for a grant and it requires a match. Do you have the matching funds? And this allows us to do that.
Anybody? Yes, good questions. Marcy, just one question. So that repair grant match, is that just going into a new separate category or?
We would put it in a stormwater reserve in the capital fund sitting there waiting for a grant that potentially could match.
Okay. All right. If there are no other questions, do we have any motions?
I'll move that we recommend full council the budget amendment, mid-year budget amendment, as presented by Ms. Kotoff.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further comments or questions? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And the motion passes 4-0. With that, we will stand adjourned. And thank you again
for a clean,
amazing audit.
Yes, for my amazing staff.
As usual.
Entire staff.